Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, we get to talk to a World Series champion. How cool is that? And it's a return guest of the Sports Spectrum podcast. Tony Beasley, Texas Rangers third base coach, returns to the show. We had him back on in the midst of that COVID season, that shortened baseball season of 2020. And he told his story of overcoming cancer, singing the national anthem, going through his baseball journey to eventually becoming a coach, and Frank Robinson, the Baseball Hall of Fame legend, giving him his first MLB coaching job. Well, today we get to really just talk about what it's like to win a World Series and the platform that God has given Tony Beasley, even bigger now than it was before, to be able to talk about Jesus to whoever wants to hear it, and the importance of being a witness for Christ in the way that we carry ourselves in that baseball clubhouse. I love this conversation with Tony Beasley. He's got a heart of gold, and that heart is to share the gospel with anyone that will listen. And what a road that this Texas Rangers team went on in winning a World Series this past season in 2023. It's Tony Beasley. He's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to remind you of our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to sportspectrum.com right now and subscribe. Very soon, the spring edition of the Sports Spectrum magazine is going to be coming out. Our baseball preview, usually baseball in there. Sometimes there's a little softball, sometimes there's a little basketball. But that's what's beautiful about the Sports Spectrum magazine. It can feature all different worlds of the sports landscape and featuring coaches and athletes and others who love Jesus, like Tony Beasley, our guest today on Sports Spectrum. You can subscribe today over at sportspectrum.com. When you check out, put in the code podcast15, podcast15, for a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine, and you will save 15% off what is our regular price for the Sports Spectrum magazine. You put in that code podcast15, podcast15, and you'll be good to go. Subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's faith-filled, it's family-friendly content, it's clean sports content, and it's perfect for the kids. You can go to Sports Spectrum right now and subscribe today. Well, it's great when you can welcome back a guest to Sports Spectrum. It's even better when they've won a World Series. He's Tony Beasley. Hey, Tony, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Last time I talked to you, you were in a hotel room in the summer of 2020, in the middle of COVID, telling your story to our audience, but also kind of trying to make sure you don't get sick so that you can go and coach your team. A lot's changed in the past 3 or 4 years, hasn't it?
It sure has. I'm telling you, you know, the COVID years really just, you know, they were really challenging, especially for us because we were so isolated. But since then, things have opened up and, you know, we won a World Series since then, man. So
yeah, I was going to say, you're now World Series champion, Tony Beasley. It's been a few months now, of course, but has it sunk in yet? How's that feeling been for you?
You know, I was numb for a while there. I think it first hit me once we got back to Arlington and when we did the parade in Texas, because it was like they said from 500,000 to 700,000 fans there. I know it was the most amount of people I've ever seen in one setting in my life, and so that kind of hit us, it hit me anyhow, and that's when it kind of dawned on me, like, yeah, because I was kind of numb through it a little bit, you know, we celebrate the wins and everything, but it didn't really hit you. It's like, pinch me, man. And because, you know, just being so focused through the playoffs, you know, you can't mess up, can't make mistakes. I'm a third base coach, so I had to be laser focused.
Yeah.
And I guess it just kind of got myself kind of numb, you know, being so even keeled the whole time. And I didn't allow myself to really feel it until the parade. Maybe that was necessary to celebrate with our fan base.
Yeah, and I don't want to say your title came out of nowhere. That's not a fair statement for any team that puts the hard work in. But you got hot at the right time, and you certainly couldn't lose on the road, which certainly helps in the playoffs.
Right.
What was that run like when you started to see things come together and you thought, okay, we got a shot here. This is real.
Yeah, it was crazy because if you look how we ended the season in Seattle, we had a tough go there at the end. We didn't really play well that last week, and we didn't have we just had to win the we had to win the last game to win the division, and we got shut out 1-0. And I mean, that's we got he had to leave there and fly all the way to Tampa as opposed to flying back to Arlington and having 4 or 5 days off, and we felt like some guys needed to be rested and what have you, and so it was kind of like a mental letdown, and so you didn't really know like how we respond, and but we go to Tampa knowing that that's a good ball club, knowing that you're going to face really good pitching, that for sure. And but something I can say about our ball club is like all year, man, every time our backs was against the wall, like we would respond, like we would step up and just play better baseball. And we went to Tampa and we took care of business game one, and they did it again game two. And we swept of it. Then, we like, okay, let's go. It's just like I felt good about it right away after that game one in Tampa. I was like, all right. Because once our offense gets to going, it's really no stopping us. And so it was just a blessing, man, to see the guys to really go to Tampa and really just like turn their game up a notch and just focus and just go and play. We were a very even keeled team. We didn't get too high, we didn't get too low, and we just focused on playing baseball, and that's kind of what we did. We just won one game at a time. We hadn't lost through the first two series, and but we never talked about that. The media was talking about that, but we were just like, we just got to go out and win today's game. Like every game was the only game that mattered, and that's I think that was a good testament to the leadership with Boch and but the leadership in the clubhouse with the players, with Semien and Seager. That's kind of their demeanor. They put their head down and go to work, and they don't get too high or too low. So I think it benefited us in the playoffs.
And then fast forward, and I always wanted to ask people who were involved in a championship moment what that's like, but I'll go to a specific moment. You're in the dugout, it's right before that final pitch is thrown, and the Rangers beat the Diamondbacks to win the World Series. Can you take me back to kind of just those few thoughts, those last few batters, when you know you're this close, you're right there?
Yeah, I mean, actually, for me, when Semien hit the 2-run homer, that gave us a little cushion there. That was the first time that I felt like we had a really good chance of winning the World Series now. And Spores had pitched a great eighth inning, and I didn't know if LeClerc was going to pitch the ninth or if Boch was going to send Spores back out. I didn't know. In my gut, I'm thinking LeClerc's probably going to come out and pitch the ninth. But then Spores went back out for the ninth, and I was like, okay, wow. But he was throwing the ball really good in the eighth, and I don't blame Boch. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so, I know Spores is nasty. So he got the two outs, and he got ahead, and he threw that last breaking ball. I was like, jeez. I mean, just before, after he got the two outs, he just felt like, you try. I never try to show anything until the last out is complete. And so I was trying to just hold it all inside. But once he got that last strikeout, it was like, wow, like everybody just goes nuts. And I don't know, you just joined the mayhem.
Well, yeah, and that's what's beautiful about any team that is able to win a title, because you go all the way back to, I mean, for the players and coaches, all the way back to the off season the year before, but then spring training and getting ready and the season, the ebbs and flows of a long time, and then that moment where you're finally able to culminate and only one team is able to come
Absolutely.
together and win a championship, and it was your team. But what a
Absolutely.
cool moment, in my opinion, and that's what this show is about, to talk about Christ and
Yes.
promote Jesus, like in the midst of, okay, hey, Tony Beasley, your platform just increased because of the world's World Series champion, but now you
That's
can kind
right.
of deflect that glory a little bit. What's that been like?
It's been awesome. Through that whole process, even before the playoffs, I was kind of praying about that. Like, God, just, give us this opportunity that to just give you more glory on a big stage. And we have a strong Christian group of guys on the team as well. And like when Adolis would do something big, when Nate Lowe would do something big, I would make sure to mention those guys. Hey, man, you guys doing these interviews, and you guys are getting puffed up. Make sure that you guys recognize that who's giving you the strength to do these things and open these doors for you. And don't forget to give God the glory. And they were very diligent. They didn't do it because I said it, but they did it because that's who they are. And Evan Carter was the same way. And he kept giving God glory. He kept wearing his Jesus One shirt. And so it was a great opportunity to be faithful, and just make sure that it wasn't just about us. This was the opportunity, the platform that God has given us to really give him glory and to honor him. And so we want to be mindful of that. And so I think that our players did that. I think they were very obedient in doing that. And then that, to me, that's what makes all the difference. And since I've been home, kind of the same deal. I mean, everybody at home knows me. I'm from a small town, but just an opportunity to touch people and just shed light on God's goodness and his grace. To go 11-0 on the road and to beat the teams in sequence that spells the word road, for me is not a coincidence. Rays, Orioles, Astros, Diamondbacks. That's just I don't know. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think that God's hand was over our team, and he found favor in us. And I don't believe that God cares about baseball too much,
I agree.
but I believe that he cares about what we do in the scheme of giving him glory with what he allow us to do in sports or any walk of life. Any job that we have is we should honor him, and we made it a point. And I believe that God just found favor in us. I mean, we did some unthinkable things to go 11-0 on the road, to sweep Tampa and sweep the Orioles, to lose 3 games at home to Houston and then go to Houston and win 2 games, win all of the games in Houston and not win one of the games at home against them. I don't know. For me, those things are just things you don't take for granted. That team beat us all year long, Houston did. And you got to go there and you got to win 2 games and you're facing Valdez and I can't think of the other little righty, Javier. And those guys are nasty, and they beat us all year. But I just think that God has a way of honoring and finding favor when we're faithful. And I just believe that our group was faithful.
Well, Tony, it's like thinking about the people that listen to this show, right? They're all not professional baseball coaches, who won World Series, but I think we're all in these different spaces that God has put us with our jobs, with our families, to glorify Him. And this was an example, I think, for you. Yeah, maybe God doesn't, quote, care about baseball, but He cares about your faithfulness to Him. And if for you, it's baseball, for somebody else, it might be working at a grocery store or a teacher or wherever that might be. Can you just encourage those listening that they can be a bright light for Christ wherever they are?
Amen. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, no matter where you are, what you're doing, you can always lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus and be consistent in that. And the joy that you elude and how you handle situations, how you respond to people, whether it's something negative or somebody's trying to push you over the edge, your response is huge. I mean, because people are watching you and people are looking for a bright spot, especially in this world that we live in. And there's so much hatred and confusion and chaos, and there's so much negativity that everyone wants to see a bright spot and some positivity and to find some joy. And when you just when you lift up the name of Jesus and you're consistent with that, no matter where you're at, like you said, you can be working in the grocery store and someone's coming through the line and you can just share a kind word. Someone needs that. You don't know what people need, and that's the thing. And we can touch lives no matter where we are. You could be the custodian at the school, and a kid's having a rough day, and you can impact their lives. So it's not about our titles or how high we up in our professions or It's not about us being puffed up or anything. It's all about whether we are, a job that's paying us the minimum salary or we're doing a job that's like my job that's, publicized and on national TV. It doesn't matter. You can have a great impact for the Lord, and you can make a difference in people's lives. And I think sometimes it's the least where we think we're least because we think we have less than others. You can have the greater impact because you can be faithful over just a little. And God says when you do that, He'll make you rule over many things. So, I just want to be obedient like me. I just want to be obedient to what God is, the platform He's given me. And because in all things, we should give Him glory in all things and at all times. Whether we won the World Series, lost the World Series, still God deserves the glory and the honor. It's not just glorify Him when you win, but God needs to be glorified at all times. We never lose. We always learn, and so we're just thankful. And I just encourage everybody: just be consistent. Don't be circumstantial with your relationship with Christ. Just walk the walk and be consistent every day, and let people see the joy of the Lord that's in you. The spirit of the Lord, like when you come in contact with another Christian, your spirits will connect. But even if it's someone who's having a tough time, I think we all were created to be in relationship with the Lord. And when we, encourage somebody in God, I think that there's a spot inside them internally that gets touched in their soul and their spirit, and they can have a glimpse of that joy and then want to know more. So it's important for us to be consistent and making sure that in all things we give God glory.
That's a great encouragement, I think. And thinking about what you just said in all things, I'm curious because it's just a question I was thinking about as a coach. Do you ever pray during games?
Oh, I'm praying while I'm at third base. I'm praying. I'm singing hymns sometimes. Like, if people could hear me, they probably like, this dude's crazy.
We got to get you mic'd up
Like,
for a game sometime.
oh man, I'm over there praying. I'm praying for players. I'm like, Lord, please just open up a door right here. Like, somebody's having a rough day. I'm like, Lord, just I pray your favor over him right now. Bless him in the name of Jesus. Odolis hit a homer or Tavares might hit a homer. And I was like, dude, afterwards, I was like, I just knew it, I just knew it. I felt it. I've been praying. And sometimes God will give me this little unction of like, this is it. And I'll just be like, I'm just claiming this right now. It's gonna happen. And boom, the ball goes out of the ballpark. Like, I'm always praying during the game. Sometimes we pray before the game in the dugout with Adolis, Nate Lowe, and Tavares, Ezekiel Duran, Evan Carter, anybody that joins in. I love the day where the whole team just joins in.
Sure.
But anyone that joins that huddle, man, we just pray that we will glorify God in our actions and the things that we say and the things that we do, and that it would not be about us today, but somehow it would be all about Him, and that people would see Christ in us on the field today. So, yeah, we do that a lot, and just think it's important.
I feel like that huddle would be a little more packed when a guy's going through a difficult, I don't want to call it a slump, but just a difficult time on the field. That huddle might get a little bit bigger, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But just to give guys perspective before the game starts, and because a lot of times, baseball players are defined by their performance. And if you are, like you said, if you're struggling or you're going through a rough time, and you're still in your humanity, you can still get down and out. And so,
Course.
just to remind them that that they belong to the Lord and that He loves them, that He cares about them more than whether they get a hit or not today. And just sometimes that helps someone get through the day. So, and we want to be obedient because frustration can sometimes lead to us acting out of character as well. And so just to make sure that everybody understands that, man, this is about the Lord and we're representing Him today. And so it doesn't matter what I have to go through. Even if I fail today, I have a great opportunity to represent Him because people watch you when you strike out or when you make a mistake, how do you respond in that, And so that's even greater responsibility.
Well, that's the toughest part, I think, in
Yes.
sports is when things don't go well. Because anybody, when they win a championship or have the best game they've ever had and they get a microphone put in their face, and they give God the glory. And that's great. They should. You should always deflect the glory to God. But it's when you're struggling and in those moments that how can you still find a way to give God the glory? What if you didn't win the World Series, right, Tony Beasley? Like, how do you still find a way to give God the glory? How's that been for you on this journey in your career?
Well, for me, it's been an easy thing for me because I've had to do that. I mean, I've dealt with cancer, so, you know, I had to go through a lot of adversity, and so I've had to give God glory, you know, in tough times. And it's not just about when you're on top of the mountain, but sometimes you're in the valley and it's dark. And how do you glorify God in those moments in your life? And so that's how I encourage players. And, you know, because I've been there and I've had to do that. And but I think, you know, those are the tougher times. And that's for anyone in life. You know, when the doctor tells us something that we don't want to hear, or there's trouble in your home or whatever it is, you know, on your job or what have you, you know, there's financial issues. There are things going on that's beyond your control, and you just don't know what to do. And so how do you respond then? And so I would say my response is my responsibility. And so, you know, I want to be faithful to God in those moments, because those are the tougher times. Those are the tougher challenges of life. It's easy to get mad at God. It's easy to ask why me, Lord, or all of these things. And I've learned not to ask why me. I say, why not me?
Yeah.
And Lord, you know, this situation that you've allowed me to be in, how can I honor you through this? And so I just want people to see Christ in all scenarios. And so I just challenge people that it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. You know, God's bigger than whatever that is anyhow. So, and I, the other night I was talking at this group that we had, and I said, don't talk to don't talk to God about your problems. He knows your problems. Talk to your problems about God. Let your problems know who God is, because he's bigger than your problems and your issues, and speak to those things and rebuke those things and speak those things out of your life and then speak life.
Yeah, that's good. That cancer diagnosis you mentioned, it was rectal cancer 7 or 8 years ago now that you've walked through it. It was February of 2016, declared cancer-free December 2016. How has going through that time helped draw you closer to God? You may have just explained some of that, but it's been a while now, and I presume the health is still good. I haven't heard anything else, which is great. How have you been able to kind of draw closer to God and helped you kind of stay connected to him having gone through that time?
Yeah, I just, you know, just, it was just more intimate study in the God's word. That's all it was for me, is just getting more detailed in my prayer time and my study time, and just digging deep into God's word and making sure that I understood, you know, what faith really means, God's promises on healing and deliverance, and just obedience and like just faith. My favorite verse is 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That was my favorite verse prior to being diagnosed with cancer. And so I had to live that out. And so then I had to dig a little deeper and say, okay, faith. I know what faith is in Hebrews 11:1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then when you keep reading down, it talks about it's impossible to please God without faith. And so, and any man that wavers or doubts in his faith should not believe that he can receive anything from the Lord. And so not just saying I have faith, but now faith becomes active in your life. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's because you have to do something. And so now I had to really surrender everything that I was going to and just give that to the Lord. And I mean, truly give it to him and not worry about it, not fear of what the outcome could be, but just believe. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And so just being able to do that, it took me to really stay in tune with God's word. I mean, I couldn't mess around and play around. You can profess things in your mouth and not believe them in your heart.
Yeah.
And so I had to believe and live this out. And so just digging so deep into God's word and making sure that his word was a part of me and it was alive in me, it gave me the strength to really walk through faith truly. I mean, I would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and just throw my hands up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for healing me." And just leave that and just go right back to sleep. And I never lost sleep. I mean, I never lost sleep. And so God was with me the whole time. And I'm thankful that I tried to the best of my ability to stay connected with my source. And he let me feel his presence.
How do you stay connected to God in his word during the season? And I'm not saying how, but it's the rhythms of a long baseball season are there and you got long hours. You got to be at the ballpark all day. How do you make sure you stay disciplined in staying connected to God during a long season?
Yeah, it's got to be the first thing I do in the morning. It has to be because once the day gets started and if I allow myself to leave the hotel, if we're on the road and I haven't got in touch with the Lord as far as in his word, then at the ballpark, sometimes it gets hard, you know. Like I'll listen to gospel music all day anyhow, but still just to get in the word of God and get some word in me. I try to do that in the mornings when I wake up. Like the first thing I do is get out of my bed and I just go from my bed to my knees and just pray and thank God for waking me up and allowing me to see another day and pray for my family and pray over a list of people that I pray over. And then I try to get in the word of God and just, you know, read. Sometimes I'll get into a study where I'm reading specific chapters. Like I was in Revelations not too long ago, just trying to re-up on Revelations, you know? And then, you know, but then sometimes I'll just kind of let the Bible spontaneously speak to me and I'll just kind of open it up and start reading. It's like, okay, I needed that today and I didn't know it, but I try to get God's word in me every day and to spend a few minutes meditating on his word and asking him to plant his word in my heart and that I won't sin against him. And so I'm just, that's, you know, you have to do it because the baseball can take you places, you know, that if you're not worded up, then it's easy to get caught up. And before you know it, you're thinking something messed up or you're saying something messed up. And I try to guard against all of those things. And the only way I can do it is it's not on my own power.
Right.
But through the power, through the word of God.
Yeah, by his spirit. How do you manage conversations with baseball players when you're coaching them and wanting them to do their very best, wanting them to be the best they can? And ultimately this year you guys were this past year. But how do you prevent baseball from becoming the idol or the God of so many of these young people who are working so hard and yourself too? I mean, you've had a long career and preventing baseball from becoming an idol or the most important thing in your life. What kind of conversations are you able to have with those players, with other coaches, and just have them understand or even help you understand that we can't let this thing reign and rule over our lives?
Yeah, I think probably I could use Josh Jung probably as an example here. You know, 'cause Josh is such a detailed worker and he's so routine oriented. And a lot of times like chapel on Sundays, like he wants to do his work during that time or because this is my routine, my schedule. And then I saw him in chapel and I was like, okay, it's a good opportunity to talk to Josh. And so just encouraging him that, man, you know what, like no matter what, like we do on this baseball field, like it cannot be put in front of God. It can't. And, you know, people may, from a worldly view, say, "Hey, you're not passionate or you're not focused." I really don't care if someone says that because, you know, I know what's in me and I know what I care about the game of baseball. But I know where baseball falls in place as well, and that's the thing is to try to get players to understand like what has to be first in your life. And God has to be first. If you profess Christ or you're a Christian, then God has to be first. If you are not a Christian or you haven't accepted as God is the Christ is your Lord and Savior yet, then if baseball wants, if it's going to be your God with a little G, then so be it until you find Christ and prioritize your life. But if you are professing Christ and you say you know the Lord, then he has to be number one in your life, even above your family. And so you can't put God on the back burner and make him an afterthought and then expect to be blessed. And because if you're a Christian, then you're first and foremost obligated to give God the glory and make sure that you honor him in all things. And so I can talk to them because they know who I am,
Sure.
and they know the things that are non-negotiable in my life. And we can schedule something during chapel time. I won't be there. I'm going to go to chapel, and I think everyone knows that. So it's just important. And we have a good group. We have a good group of guys. But I'm always mindful of sometimes I'm maybe too protective of the Christian guys because I don't want their testimony to be ruined,
Yeah.
and I don't want God to be, people will look at God and they'll say, "I don't want any part of that." If that's, they don't look at us, they turn away from God because of us, and it's important that we don't turn anyone away from the Lord. I would hate for that to get to the gates and God's judging me, and he says, you turn people away from me. And I think if God's saying that to me, then I may not enter in. And so I'm very conscious about that.
Yeah, I think it's a reminder too for all of us as believers that when we're interacting with people who are Christians and people who are not, like you do on a
Yes.
daily basis, to love them equally. Yes, you want to protect the testimonies of those that are believers, and being like-minded is wonderful, and maybe keeping them more accountable. But you also don't want to do damage to somebody who's not a believer in the way that
Exactly.
you act, right? Like you don't want to have that witness come into a place where they are running further away from God than running toward God. That's got to be something that I think all of us should be thinking about, Tony.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think that's important. Just our life is going to speak for us. What we say and what we do is going to speak for us, and people are watching us, and it is important that we be an example of Christ. And I want people to want what I have, and for them to want what I have, they have to see it, and the only way they can see it is if I live it out.
Yeah,
So.
that's a good reminder. Well, as we wind down, I did want to ask you. I remember the last time we had you on, I talked about the renditions of the national anthem that you had sung on many different occasions. Have you done any recently? I got to know this. I didn't know if you did any over the last couple of years.
No, I have not. I've had a ton of fans ask me about that. And it's like, we want you to sing the anthem. But I only sing the anthem if I'm asked, I'm like, I
Right.
don't advocate to sing the national anthem, but I'm sure at some point I'll sing it again. I told the fans, well, you guys got to get on social media and make a stink about it, I guess. And then somebody asked me to sing, but yeah, I'm not opposed to it, but in the midst of the season, I'm more focused on what we're doing. Sometimes, if we're winning and things are going great, I'm okay saying it. I'm not usually okay saying that during a losing streak,
Of
or
course.
something like that. I was like, all right,
Yeah.
we're losing and he's singing and stuff. So,
We got to get this guy another opportunity now. Maybe in a spring training game. You know, something, right?
I never thought about singing in a spring training game. I probably could do that easy. I probably could just say I want to sing today, and they just yeah,
Exactly.
spring training is so laid back. Yeah.
Well, and then the coaches and players hear you, and then maybe they're like, all right, well, we'll find a game during the season we can do that. So that's
Yeah.
good stuff, man. Well, Tony, listen, congratulations on winning a World Series and being part of a championship team, but really, congratulations on being part of the most important team, which is being aligned with Jesus. So I just appreciate you coming back on the show, and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you, Jason.
And many thanks to Tony Beasley from the Texas Rangers for joining us here on Sports Spectrum. I love talking to Tony. Just his heart to live out Jesus in his life is awesome to hear. When you're watching a Rangers game in 2024, look for that third base coach. Who knows? He might even be praying as the camera is put on him. But I loved how he talked about praying during games. Not praying for home runs, obviously. I hope you didn't think that that's what he meant by praying and ultimately good things happen on the field. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. But just staying connected to the vine, even in the midst of a pressure-filled, tension-filled sport like the game of Major League Baseball, and Tony Beasley's intentionality about reaching people for Jesus, about growing his faith and staying connected to God personally, the non-negotiables of going to chapel, of starting his day with God. Man, if everyone could grasp that who says that they love Jesus, how great would that be? What an example that we could all be in our witness for Christ. So I thank Tony Beasley for being here on Sports Spectrum. Certainly wish him nothing but the best and can't wait to watch him and his Texas Rangers try to defend their title in 2024, this upcoming baseball season. And again, thanks to Tony for joining us on Sports Spectrum. Our website is sportspectrum.com, and we thank you for joining us. And if you want, what would be great is checking out our website because our podcasts are there. You can find daily devotionals there Monday through Friday. You can get great content for free, wonderful articles and stories and testimonials from athletes and coaches and other people in the world of sports. You can share those on your feeds and with your friends and family. We're all looking for ways to share the gospel. And we believe Sports Spectrum and sports in general can be a wonderful way to point people to Christ. And so check out sportspectrum.com for all of our content. And of course, whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, click that subscribe button, click that follow button so that you don't miss any more episodes. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leaving a review and a five-star rating would be amazing as it helps get the word out about the podcast. And again, we just appreciate you being an ambassador for Christ and being an ambassador for Sports Spectrum. We love you guys. We'll see you next time right here on the show. I hope you all have a great rest of your day.